Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you do with silence? Is it something that you're able to tolerate? Is it something that you cherish? It perhaps depends on your station in life. Most of you know that my wife Megan and I have a house full of little ones who interact with us and with one another in often lively and boisterous ways. As much as I thank God for my kiddos and all that activity, some of my favorite moments of the day come in the late evenings and the early mornings when the house is silent. There's time to think. There's time to listen. There's time to pray. Now, on the other hand, there may be others of you who are at a different spot in your life. Perhaps your house was full at one point, but now it's feeling kind of empty. Children are grown, moved away. Perhaps a spouse is gone. Maybe they've gone home to be with the Lord. And that silence that you experience often feels maybe all-encompassing. Generally speaking, I think we can agree that in our culture, there is no short supply of noise. Our lives are filled with noise, with information coming at us from all directions. Perhaps many of us have become even addicted to the noise. We turn on the TV the second we walk through the door. We carry our phones with us everywhere, responding to flashes and dings, checking our email and our social media feeds, perhaps hundreds of times a day. And for some, that's not even an exaggeration. Sometimes those connections serve good purposes. We're able to keep track of the people we love. Perhaps those people who live many miles away were able to see what's going on in their lives. When a disaster strikes, like it has this week in Florida with the hurricane, we're able to receive news of that pretty immediately, and then also with that, seemingly immediate ways to respond to those needs and loving service to others. But the constant noise, the constant information flowing our way can leave us in a continual state of distraction, even anxiety. Be honest with yourself. Does watching hours of cable news or surfing your Facebook or Instagram feeds all day long make you feel more or less secure? More or less at peace. Before I go any further, I want to make a point here that this message is not going to be simply about tuning out noise. For as much as we would like to try, that noise will continue to come our way, whether we like it or not. Life with kids, life with aging parents, difficulties at work, crazy dynamics at play in our culture and in our politics. Even the noise that comes when everything else around us is silent, the noise that's coming from within our own mind that won't stop spinning, or a conscience that won't stop accusing. Simply tuning out the noise in our lives is not a realistic option. But God does desire for us a peace and a quietness of soul that finds its source outside of us, outside of this world, in Him alone. Listen again to the words of King David as he pens Psalm 62, and I'd invite you to follow along in your bulletin as we read some of these words. David writes, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be greatly shaken. We'll find out a few verses later that David is writing these words during some very troubling times in his life. He's a little older now, a little less capable than he's been as he faces these particular circumstances. He's going to compare himself in this psalm to a leaning wall or a tottering fence. It's possible that he is writing these words while enduring the rebellion of his own son, Absalom, the one who tried to usurp the throne during the lifetime of his father, in his father David's later years. In and of himself, David doesn't have much to offer. But David has a source of peace and rest that his circumstances can't take away. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. The thought here is not a silence of worry or despair, as if he has no other options, but rather this is a silence that communicates quiet, restful confidence. Yes, David is aware of the noise around him. He is aware of those who would stand against him, the danger that faces him. We hear that in verses 3 and 4. He knows the design of his enemies, but his heart and his mind are not fixated on that danger. Rather, they are focused on the goodness, the faithfulness, and the power of God. Allow me to share some more words, starting at verse 5. Again, David writes, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. You might notice that these words are not framed exactly as a prayer, like so many other psalms are. Rather, these are statements of declaration, of truth. On one hand, David is declaring to his enemies that they can't steal his hope. They can't steal his confidence in God. On the other hand, they are words that are declarations that are meant to encourage believers to place their hope in this same God, the God who is a strong rock and a refuge for all who would trust in Him. Perhaps it's words like these that come from an aging King David, which help to sustain someone else as he faces a very difficult circumstance in his own life. 450 years later, the aging prophet, Daniel, his political enemies have tricked King Darius into publishing an edict that all people must pray to the king alone, and that anyone caught praying to another deity would face this cruel and unusual form of the death penalty, that is, being thrown to hungry lions. Darius, who is a friend of Daniel, does not recognize the peril of this action. And he signs the edict, and it becomes a law. For Daniel, it's big trouble. But for Daniel, not even the roar of hungry lions could interrupt the restful quiet of his soul, which found its protection and refuge and the strength of Almighty God, the King of the universe. And God, in His mercy, and for the glory of His name, closes the mouths of the lions, so that Daniel experienced no harm. It's this rest, it's this quiet confidence of soul that God still offers to you and to me today in His Son. You see, Jesus' world in the first century wasn't a whole lot different than our world today in the 21st century. There may not have been social media. There may not have been a 24-hour news cycle, but there was plenty of danger. And there was plenty of political strife to go around. Moreover, people were still people, and sin still had this same ability to sear consciences and to leave people struggling under the deafening clamor of accusation and guilt. To that reality, and to ours, Jesus speaks the words of our gospel text. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you want rest? Do you want peace? Do you want a quietness of spirit that can't be stolen by all the agitation and the noise of our lives? You'll find it here, in Him. You'll find it in the one who knew how to speak and how to act to give rest to the weary. And you'll find it in the one who faced the noise of false accusations, the screaming of the crowds, the crack of the whip, the clanging of hammer against nail, all the while exhibiting a quiet trust in His Father's plan. When He remained silent before those who sought His death, He did it for your good. When He speaks to declare His victory and to declare your forgiveness, it's also for your good, that you might know true rest in Him. And that rest, that "it is finished," which Jesus shares with us, is the rest that we're blessed to share with others. For 76 years, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League has been supporting work, mission work, nationally, internationally. And the LWML has not just been collecting pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters in their mite boxes. They've also been encouraging both women and men all over the world to find true rest in God and in Him alone. Over 76 years of its ministry, the LWML has lived through major changes in the world and even in their own organization. Throughout all these challenges and uncertainties, we have the blessing of seeing women placing their trust in God, looking to Him for direction. Lives have been touched through their work, and people have received rest that comes from knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a lot of noise out there. Sometimes there's a lot of noise in here too. There are people all around us who struggle with insecurity in this fast-changing world. We have true peace. We have true rest to offer them in the God who loves them and who gave His Son for them. Let's live in the rest that He gives and share it with others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our King, our rest. Amen.